Sue, we are honored to have you here today. Will you come up and share God's word with us? And can we honor her and her husband, Ed, for their 30 years of serving the Lord?
Okay. Well, it's good to be with you this morning. It is. And this year's missions theme is Be Present. And Ed and I have been privileged to be present in Thailand for 30 years. I mean, that is not normal, actually. People change jobs, different reasons, come back. I just praise God. And serving with the Christian and Missionary Alliance. Our family, we have, let me tell you a little bit about our family. We have two children. Our daughter, Laura, is a middle school, high school band director at an international Christian school in Hong Kong. She's been there 6 years. She'll be moving to Budapest, Hungary this summer for another Christian international school. And my son is an engineer in the Grove City area here in Pennsylvania. They both love the Lord. We are so happy that they love the Lord. They're active in their local churches, and that is what we give praise for the most. Now, as Pastor said, Great Commission Fund. Right now, we raise 40%, which is called, there's both designated and undesignated. This kind of change. Pastor emphasizes that undesignated, which is what we really need to balance out the things. And so it supports 700 of us around the world in 70 countries. And as Pastor said, you just put that on your envelope, mark it online. Next one, please. So if you give, you can actually give direct to the CMA on their website, and you would put, I'm a member at Emmanuel, and then they would get marks that it was from that church too. But probably the easiest way is to go through the church if you would like to. Or you can mail it in, but probably because this church already has a system that give right to the church through missions. Now the next one, for designated, if you want to give a gift to the Beers, to us, to somebody, you just put our little name in there and it goes into our pot. But as Pastor said, we're emphasizing the big fund that funds all 700 of us. And I appreciate that so much because you know right now the designated is doing better than the undesignated. So it's good. It's good. So thank you very much. Next one, please. Now, money is just a part, a small part. What really, really keeps us there on the field is your prayers. And we have thank you so much for all of you who have prayed for us over the years. We do have a new prayer card on our table. You can, you know, stick us on your refrigerator. Then we become one of those refrigerator people. Anyway, and you can get our prayer update. If we send it out monthly. If you do the QR code, bing, you can do that. I also have the QR code on our table. Also, if you just have the website here, you can just type that little thing in, and up comes the MailChimp sign-up page. Just need your name and email, and bang, you'll get it every month. If you're not getting them every month, look in your spam file, because, you know, MailChimp things tend to do that. The other thing is, if all that doesn't work, you can send us an email. I have our email there, and say, please, I want to get your update, and we would be more than happy to sign you up. So many ways, and we really, really appreciate your prayers, because that is really, really how we can stay there for so long. It's God. It absolutely is the Lord. So I just like to start with just a word of prayer right now. Father, thank you so much for this chance to share with my family here. Thank you so much for your goodness as we were reflecting on that through worship and through having communion together. Father, we do need you. And I pray that you be with us right now and just be with what I say and prepare our hearts for what you want us to hear and how to respond. And I just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, dwelling among the people to reveal Jesus. God has called Ed and me to be church planters in Thailand. And one of our fundamental principles is to live in the community where we're going to church plant. I need bing. Next. Okay. Live in the community. Some of you ladies saw this house quite a bit yesterday. But anyway, when we first moved in, the first impressions that we gave to our neighbors in Bonpail were scary. Well, our moving truck came and to our house and unloaded 18 55-gallon metal drums into our carport. And the neighbors wondered, what is in those barrels? Well, it had recently been in the Thai news that a terrorist had been caught with chemicals in 55-gallon drums, and they had been arrested in an area not too far from where we were moving in. And so people were kind of in a panic. What are these foreigners doing with those barrels? So a Christian who lived on our lane, who had encouraged us to come to Bonpail, was trying to calm everybody down. No, Ed and Sue are not terrorists. She assured them, she said, they're here in Bonpail to help start a church. Well, I am sure our neighbors were very relieved when we finally opened those crazy things and pulled out sheets and towels, pots and pans, books and stuff. I tell you, it's an old-fashioned way, but it's a great way to store stuff in humid climates because nothing gets in. Moisture doesn't get in, bugs don't get in, mice don't get in, and things stay wonderful well. But it is kind of an old-fashioned way. So the Thai now, we're like, what in the world? So anyway, they're also difficult to pack because everything you own is square and those crazy things are round. But anyway, we've done it for 30 years and we're almost done with that. But praise God. John 1:14 says, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." Jesus, the Word of God, the eternal God, the creator of all things, took on human flesh and dwelt among us. We were thinking about that as we took communion. He came and he was the real life example of God's glory for us to see, to touch, the real glory, grace, and truth. And like Jesus, all of us Christians are to dwell among the people, to be present and engage with them, so that they may see God's glory and experience his grace and truth. Well, after we moved in, Ed and I got busy going around and introducing ourselves to the community. We shopped in the local markets and we interacted with the shopkeepers. In the evening, we would take prayer walks on every street and alley and all over the place. Most of the foreigners in this town of about 20,000 were English teachers. And so people assumed we were English teachers. They also thought maybe we were lost because we're walking around in the evening. Well, are you looking for someone? And we said, no, we are your neighbors now, and we are praying blessing on you. We want you to know the best news in the world. We want you to be blessed by God that you can know about him. And we came to start a church. People were often amazed that we could hold a conversation with them in Thai. And that is another thing that we appreciate about the Christian Missionary Alliance. We learn the local language. Well, on our sixth prayer walk, we met a Thai lady named Nun. She was sitting in front of her beauty parlor. It was around 5 o'clock, and I actually had been thinking about getting my hair cut, and I saw the sign over her in her little shop, and it said, "That Pom Chai Kap Ying," which is haircuts for men and women. And I thought, I read it out loud, and Nun heard me, and she says, "Oh, well, come on in." And so I went on in, and I told Ed, "Will you just keep prayer walking around here? I'm going to go get my hair cut." So he's like, okay. So he does that, and I go in. Well, we started to talk, and I quickly learned that Nun was a religious seeker. She had tried all these ways, from Buddhist practices to spiritist practices, to find peace and fulfillment in her life. In Thailand, over 90% of the people are Buddhist, but most of the Thai also engage in the appeasement of evil spirits. Less than 1% are Christian. As I was leaving, Nun said, "You know, I believe nothing happens by chance in this life." And I agreed. I knew this was a divine appointment. About a month later, God used a series of things to open Nun's heart to the Lord, and she became our very first believer in Bonpail. Praise God. In Mark 1, verses 35 to 39, it says, "Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up and left the house and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, 'Everyone is looking for you.' Jesus replied, 'Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come.' So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons." Here in Mark 1, it's the beginning of Jesus' ministry. He was baptized by John, and he had fasted and prayed in the wilderness 40 days, and now he began his public ministry. There in verse 35, after initial time of ministry, he retreated for a time to be with the Father, to pray. And, you know, prayer really is the ministry. Prayer is so important. Jesus needed prayer. He took those retreats and prayed. Prayer is not just a prelude. Sometimes we think, well, I'll pray and then I'll do the ministry. Prayer is the ministry, absolutely. Because without us getting ourselves in tune with what the Father's will is and what he's doing and where he's leading and to the way we can have his power in our ministry, what we do just becomes kind of like activity, just religious activity. But we really need to be bathed in prayer, and prayer being our first priority. Absolutely. You know, Simon Peter was all excited. All these people were coming to look for Jesus. And where's Jesus? He's hiding over there praying. And he's in a solitary place. He goes, everyone's looking for you. This is probably great, you know, Peter. And it's like, but then verse 38, Jesus just says, let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come. You know, very likely, Jesus was praying about where to go next. Very likely, he was asking the Father, where are you working? Where should we go? You know, when we did that prayer walk, that's what we were doing. We were asking the Father, whose hearts have you prepared? And I would encourage you, if you've never prayer walked, to prayer walk around the church, prayer walk around where you live, and ask God, what are you doing here? Open my eyes that I would know, where are you working? Whose hearts have you prepared? Because God is working. And as we pray, he will lead us to those people who are hungry for him. Well, back in Bonpale, Nun was very excited about having finally found what she was looking for in Jesus. And she insisted on having opening her beauty shop for the Wednesday cell group that we were going to start for people who were starting to be interested. She said, I'm right here in the middle of the business district. I have glass on three of my walls, and everyone can see what we're doing and hear what we're doing. And, you know, she's just going to put everything inside out on the street. And Bonpale kind of closes down at 6 anyway, and she was at a dead-end road. So it worked okay to put everything in the street. And she said, I just want everyone to know about Jesus. So we did. Our group met there, and once we had about 10 local believers, we started praying about a more convenient, a bigger place to meet in, a building that could be our ministry center. So we began taking offerings to see what the church could afford, because we really believe the church should be able to pay their utilities and rent from day one, because then they own it, it's theirs. Well, God answered prayer, and he led us to rent this storefront unit. Actually, when we rented it, it looked more like the ones on either side, but a little paint does a lot of good. And so we did some fixer-upper stuff. We got it at a great price, I must say. As is, for 3 years, very, very cheap, but we had to fix it up. The canal goes right in front of the church, the storefront, and then the bridge, if you see that bridge, that cuts the road, that cuts the town north and south, and the canal cuts it east and west. So we were right there on the corner where the bridge goes over and the canal goes that way. It was just a wonderful place, very, very visible, very, very visible. Well, July of 2021, a massive fire broke out in the downtown market area that was so close to the church, just across the canal. Pastor Siti Chai said he was shocked. He could feel the heat and the flames, and we lived a half mile away. We could see the flames up in the sky. It was just horrible. This was a 100-year-old market made of teak wood, and once it caught, it was going. And it was very, very sad. Well, 28 shops were destroyed, and over 40 families were affected. And the church immediately decided, we're going to respond, we're going to show God's love, and we're going to just get together some relief packages for these 40 families that were affected. So some people donated special things for the supplies, for the relief packages, others helped pack them, and we prepared all these things. We also put in some gospel tracts and then a letter of concern from our church that we were praying for them and we were very concerned and if we could help in any way. So then our pastor presented our 40 bags to the mayor of Bonpale, because he was coordinating all the relief efforts. He knew where these 40 families were, and so we cooperated with the community to help those that were suffering from the fire. In 1 John 3:17 to 18, it says, "If anyone has material possession and sees a brother or sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth." I would encourage you to pray that God would lead you for ways to how you can love your neighbors and to show God's care for them. I know this church does a lot with the Hope. Was it the New Hope? With the food pantry, and that's wonderful. And then with your ESL classes, you're already doing a lot. But maybe there's other opportunities just to show that this church loves Mechanicsburg, and they love the people here, and they are here for them. God can use all kinds of programs, even, you know, recovery programs, and there's so many things, as we sung about recovery, so many things. Sometimes it's as simple as being next to an elderly neighbor and shoveling their walk for them, or helping, volunteering to cut their grass for them. Just those little things to say, yes, Jesus is real and we love you. I just praise God for this church and what it's doing, but we can pray, is there something else? Can we respond to some needs also, more needs? Well, when our church in Bonpail gathered for our Wednesday night prayer meeting, we would often pray that we would have more opportunity to share the love of Jesus with the people in the area, and so that they would know Jesus and could choose to follow him. Because if they don't hear, they have no way to respond. So our church is just, the town of Bonpail has about 20,000, but the district is 90,000, so it's not that big. How big is Mechanicsburg? I don't know. But anyway, we're 20,000. Is it about 20,000 here? How much? 75, so that would be like our whole district. And we are one of two small churches. So you can imagine here in Mechanicsburg how many churches, you trip over them coming here. And it's like there, those would all be Buddhist temples, because we're talking less than 1%. So very, very small. Well, when we did errands around town, we would often park our car at the church, because it was just simpler to walk across that concrete bridge. Everything seemed to be on the other side. Our bank was there, the hospital was there, the government offices were there, and we also liked to get a little exercise. So we would park our bike or park our car by the, because we lived about a half mile from the church. And then we would walk across that bridge when we did errands. And Ed would say, you just feel that breeze coming off the, maybe the cars whooshing by, or the breeze from the canal. And he said, it's like the breeze of the Holy Spirit. And we just pray, Holy Spirit, just go out among these people and just bless them, that they then draw them to yourself. And when we would come back, we would see the cross that we put on top of that building, and we just prayed, Lord, just draw them to the cross. Draw them to the cross, that more people would experience that life-changing power of Jesus on the cross. In Colossians 4, 2-3, it says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us, too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chain. And I just pray that, you know, God would open more doors for the message right here. And as we prayed for that, sometimes God amazes us with the doors he opens. Well, in November of last year, actually November 2021, so about a little more than that, the assistant director of Bonpail, like I said, a district of 90,000, the size of Mechanicsburg, contacted our pastor, and he asked if we would like to participate in the annual agricultural fair that they were having in December. The Bonpail district is famous for the fragrant coconuts, you know, the ones that you drink the juice out of in the middle. And if they're really good from Thailand, they're from Bonpail. So, but we also have fruit. We have orchids, and we have mangoes and guava and all kinds of fruit orchards there, too. So they like to feature their agricultural products in a fair and enjoy, you know, invite all the surrounding communities to come. And it would be held the weekends of December. Well, one of those weekends was Christmas weekend. And Christmas actually, I think, fell either on Saturday or Sunday that year. I don't remember. Maybe Saturday. So The 3 days, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday night, they were going to have the fair. And they asked if we would be willing to have a booth there and to tell people what Christmas is all about. I'm like, yes. I'm like, yes. We would have the booth for free. They were just inviting us. We were so amazed to share the real meaning of Christmas with whoever would come to this fair. And we just saw it as a golden opportunity. Well, the church was given a booth right. Actually, they let us pick where we wanted the booth. Excuse me. And it was in a prime location right near the stage. We didn't want to be too close because we knew there'd be a lot of music and stuff coming off the stage. So we picked it right there. Good foot traffic. And so for that weekend of Christmas weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday night, we set this booth up. And besides having free, fun carnival games that the kids really enjoyed, we were actually a very popular booth, and we had lots of prizes that we gave out. We also had prepared 800 packets of literature that had, you know, the story, the Christmas story, and things for the children, and pens and paper with the church name on it. I mean, all this stuff in there, and we distributed 800 of them as people walked by our booth. And we also were able to engage in a lot of conversation with people who came. In fact, there was one night people were asking for this. I didn't get one. Can I have one? I'm like, well, yeah. So it was amazing. So many people visited our booth because our booth actually was fun. The other booths were food related. You know, you buy your food, sit, and have your picnic. But ours was, the kids were like, what game is tonight? We had different games. We had, you know, darts, real darts. That one I stayed at the booth for that. But anyway, they loved it. They loved it. Ring toss and everything. Praise God. Then the amazing thing is the district gave us 30 minutes each night on the stage to sing and explain the meaning of Christmas. When we first were talking to the district super, the mayor and so on, they said, well, you could do something. And by the time we were done, oh, yeah, you can have as much time as you want. You can have a half hour. I'm like, yep, we'll take it. It was amazing. So we had our mother church come and our church come, and the worship team got up there and sang songs. And then every night, our pastors shared clearly the gospel in very creative ways because this was a moving audience. They were having their dinner on the tables and so on. And each pastor, we had the pastor of our mother church, pastor of Bon Parallel Church, and then our Bible school intern, each shared the gospel each night. And they were all very creative and very engaging with the audience because they knew it was going to be a roaming audience. I just praise God. Well, over the course of those 3 nights, I believe more than 1,000 people heard the wonderful message of Jesus' birth. It was just amazing to learn that he came to save us from sin and bondage and that we can be free in him. It also amazed us that the district director and then the MC each night, they kind of went around. You see the food booths and people eating their food in the table there. They would introduce our booth. And this is the booth from the Mahapon Banpyal Church. They're just right down the canal, about, you know, a quarter mile. And they're going to tell us about Christmas and Jesus. And I'm like, oh, wow. I'm like, pinch me. This was amazing. And then, you know, it was just amazing, the kind of publicity we got and how kind they were and how welcoming they were. It was amazing. We haven't seen a direct, I saw your booth, got your literature, and came to the Lord connection yet, but I believe a lot of seeds were planted. And our reputation in the community, everybody knows us now, and everybody is so welcoming. It was really amazing. Everywhere we went, yeah, they saw us that night. Yeah, their kids played at our booth. It was just so cool. That was an amazing opportunity, and God is still opening those doors, and we're trusting that he will bring a harvest, and maybe we'll get to know there was a connection somewhere. But seeds take a while to sprout, and we're trusting God for that. I just pray that God would lead you to have faith that God will open amazing opportunities, even in America. We're in a Buddhist country, but we have real freedom of religion. Here, you might feel like our freedom's going, but you know God can still move and open opportunities in amazing ways. Pray that way, that he'll show you a way to have amazing opportunities, and he would lead you. The example of Jesus taking on human flesh to dwell among us so that he displayed God's glory, grace, and truth is our model to follow in our service for him. Jesus sends us out too into the world to serve him in this way. He says in John 20, 21, "As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." The Father demonstrated his love through the presence of Jesus here on earth, and Jesus is sending us to be filled with his presence, filled with his Holy Spirit, and then to reveal his presence to others. And when we are filled with the love of Jesus and we dwell among the people, it's one of the best ways for people to experience God's love. How else would they experience God's love? We may never be more like Jesus than when we are willing to be present among those who have not yet had a chance to know him. Jesus calls each of us to be present for him among those around us. And as the Father has sent Jesus to be present here on earth, he sends us to be present for him in our communities, wherever he leads us in the world. When I met Nun at that beauty shop, excuse me, it's always, just a moment. When I met Nun at that beauty shop, she asked me, I was the first Christian she ever met. And she said, she's in her 50s, and she said, "Why did I have to wait so long?" And I still had no answer, but I just praise God. It was time. It was in time. And she loves the Lord to this day, and she's active in the church. But she said, "Why did I have to wait so long to hear this wonderful news?" And excuse me, every time I think about that, I praise God that we were there in time, and he worked that out. But what if we hadn't gone? What if somebody wasn't there? I was the first Christian she ever met. Excuse me. And you know what? There's people right here in America that don't have a relationship with somebody who can explain to them the gospel. There are. We're getting more and more post-Christian here, and there's people waiting for the answer. We have the answer. We have the answer. And most likely they're not in our current network of relationships. It's going to take us crossing into an area maybe we're uncomfortable with, people not like us, don't look like us, don't speak like us. But it's where the gospel needs to go. Right here in Mechanicsburg, God has brought the nations here. Your ESL program is amazing. But you know, sometimes we need to go right where they're living to reach out, because there's people waiting. I believe that. The Holy Spirit is drawing people to himself, and God has put this church here not by accident, and that the world is coming here not by accident. And God has a wonderful, wonderful plan for this church. I can just imagine what's going to happen, and it's going to blow open. But we need to be willing to be obedient, to go where we're not comfortable, and to speak to people we don't know, to be present, to be Jesus's presence among them. I also am praying that God will raise up more people that will be willing to go anywhere. Yes, you need to start here. It needs to be both and. But are some people willing to go wherever? Maybe it's to that other community I have to drive. Maybe it's to another country. Maybe wherever God leads you. And I hope you are open and willing to do that. God is calling us. He says, "As the Father sent me." We rejoice that he sent Jesus. We rejoice that we are saved. We rejoice that we have the freedom. But Jesus is now sending us. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much that you loved us so much that you sent your Son. As we sang, God so loved the world that he sent his Son. And we have benefited. We have been filled. We have been saved. But Lord, there's so many more that are waiting. Father, I pray that you would raise this church up to continue to be the force that it is in this community, to continue to dream, to continue to reach out and to hear your voice and to see the need, and that you would lead them to the people you have prepared. And Lord, I would pray that you would call people, even in this congregation, more people to serve you wherever, even overseas, Lord. I just bless Pastor, I bless the pastoral staff and everyone here, Lord, as we just dwell in your presence, that we would be obedient because you are sending us. Thank you, Jesus. In your name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Sue, would you stay for a second? Sue said, we need to plant seeds. Seeds take a while to grow, mm-hmm. but we need to be planting seeds.
Yes.
And I appreciate your challenge because it's not just something that we hire others to do and send them. This mission is something that we all are part of, here and across the world, and we do it together. And so I so appreciate this message you had for us, Sue, that you took the principles of what you guys are doing there and applied it to us here. And so there are people who are right down the street from us. There are people around the block from us. There are people across town from us who may say one day to you, I don't know why it took so long for me to hear this. So, folks, let's let that rest on us. Let's let that sit on us, that there is a world who needs to still hear about Jesus. And we can't assume that just because they live in the United States or wherever they may live, that they have heard about Jesus yet. We've experienced him here. And if you don't know him yet here, you know a lot of people who could tell you today all about him and help walk you through that. So talk to someone. But don't let's not forget the people right down the street from us as well. Sue, we are so glad that you and Ed have answered the call to go to Thailand. We pray for you. In fact, we found out there are people who've been praying for Sue and Ed since they first began 30 years ago. Mm-hmm. People in our church who were praying for them. And so we want to also commit to just be praying for you in your next term as you guys head back in June. Mm-hmm. To go back for another 4 years to plant another church in another neighborhood. And there'll be a whole new story of that church, just like we heard of this one, because we believe God will be working. And so we want to encourage you all to come out tonight. Ed and Sue will be here. Also, as I mentioned, that panel of people who are going to share about how God's giving them passion and ideas for how to reach the world as well. So come back at 6:30 for that tonight. But I would ask, could you all stand? One of the things that we see in Scripture in Isaiah chapter 6 is when they see God. Isaiah saw God. Isaiah saw his holiness. He saw his power and his presence. And God said, well, who can I send who will go on my behalf? And Isaiah's response was, here am I. Send me. And so just as a posture of your own heart, I'd like you, if you are hearing what God is doing, you're hearing this message, maybe you don't feel like you have the power, you have the strength to do it. That's okay. God does. And maybe you don't know how. It's okay. You can pray and God will show you how. What it starts with is a willing heart. And Sue, I wonder if you would just pray over us as a church, if with all these willing hearts here, that we would respond and say yes, and that God would lead us mm-hmm. to people who need to know Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Father, you are good. Father, you can be trusted. Father, you created us for such a time as this. Father, I pray you would stir in the hearts of my brothers and sisters here and in my own heart, Lord, that we would be willing to believe that you are good, to believe that we can trust you, and to believe that you created us for such a time as this. And Lord, we will listen to your still small voice, and we will follow you wherever, across the street, down the road, even to another place. Father, I just pray that you would rise up, raise up a mighty army for your glory, for your honor, for your kingdom. There are so many waiting. Thank you for this congregation. I pray that people would be willing to be willing. That's all it takes. It doesn't matter the age. It doesn't matter your experience. It doesn't matter anything, because you're the one who equips and you're the one that sends. Father, I just bless this congregation again, and I pray that you would raise up people they would tell Pastor, yes, I felt that call. They would tell somebody, and that you would then see how that comes to fruition and what that means for them in their individual situation. Thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do right here and what you are doing. I just thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. If you have something stirring on your heart, talk to someone before you go. Talk to anyone in this room that you know that you'd say, I connect with them, or one of our pastors, or even Sue. In fact, I'd like to ask you, Sue, if you would head toward the back so people can greet you on their way out. And don't forget that tonight we are gathering at 6:30 to 8 o'clock. So the Lord bless you. Have a wonderful afternoon.